Hey, this is Hal Hester. I'm the pastor of Vineyard Christian Church, and this is our podcast. I want to thank you for joining us today. I hope this message inspires you, builds your faith, and gives you perspective on how God is moving in your life. Please enjoy the message.
Well, good morning. What a great day. Always good to celebrate the resurrection together. You know, Easter is one of those most interesting holidays. There are a number of Christian holidays that have captivated our culture, and so people partake in those holidays with us. Whether it's necessarily something that's significant to them in a religious way or not, it's something that we stop and we pause and we reflect. And so, you know, the only time you ever see Walmart close is on Christmas, right? And otherwise, it just doesn't. And, you know, often places will close on Easter Sunday. In fact, I was surprised yesterday as we were doing our grocery shopping, like the rest of you scurrying around trying to get everything done at the last minute. Comes every year. I don't know why we're surprised. But anyhow, we were scurrying about doing those things, and I just noticed the number of places that said, we will be closed tomorrow for Easter Sunday. And I was excited to see that. But can I just tell you, you know, for most of the world, Easter is primarily about spring. And there's nothing wrong with that. It's also a great time, you know, for the clothes industry. We all get new clothes. And part of that is, you know, now it's not so true in Florida, but, you know, when I lived up north for a number of years, and after wearing nothing but, you know, kind of things that didn't show all the dirt and grime of the snow turning black, you were just glad to get something on that was cheery looking, you know, and everything from the previous year after having snacked all your way through Christmas didn't fit anymore anyhow. So that meant it was time to get some new Easter duds, and they were bright and cheery, and they actually fit, and so kind of cool. But, you know, for Christians, you know, in the modern church, most of our focus, actually, when we get to Easter, we tend to put the majority of our focus actually on Good Friday, interesting enough. In fact, a number of things that were sent my way. You can imagine my email box. Not only do I get things from people wanting to talk about spiritual things during this time of year, but my box gets in particular full because every ministry group, magazine, everything that cranks out an email will send a number of emails at that time all about things you can do for Easter, things you can do to get ready for Easter. Here, take this class online. Do this. I mean, if you actually did everything, you would not have time to do anything else. But just listen to all of their podcasts. And here's the thing, is that almost all of them were focused on the cross, on Good Friday, the penalty paid, and almost nothing was actually about resurrection, about triumph over sin and death. Now, I'll tell you that part of that is just simply because in our modern society, we cram everything into one weekend, right? I mean, it's just the very nature of things. We try to hurry everything along. We want to do everything in a week. We don't have time to take off, or at least in our minds and our imaginations, we can't afford to take off, because if we did, then stuff wouldn't get done, and stuff is so important, so we got to do stuff. And so we don't do a whole lot these days about taking time to stop, reflect, think, to pace our lives. And so one of the things I loved as a kid that we would do is, you know, during Holy Week, and I'm not saying my family was particularly all that religious, but during Holy Week, we went to church like more than any other time in the whole year, right? Because we went to different events throughout the week, and it was very special, and so we would take time to do that. The other part of it is this, is that, you know, oftentimes it's our sense of debt. It bothers us, doesn't it, that Jesus paid the price for our sins. I mean, when you stop to think about that, I mean, It's one thing whenever you do something and you pay the price, but when you do something and somebody else pays the price, it bothers us. Inherently, there's just something deep within us that says, that's not just, it's not right, and we don't understand. I can remember as a child having the first time that ever explained to me, sitting in my catechism class, and they were going through and they were explaining about the Easter and about Jesus' sacrifice, and at first I was mad at the Jews, and then I got mad at the Romans, and then I got mad at Pilate, and then they finally explained that no, he gave his life freely for our sins, and then it hit me that it was at least in part my part. In some level it was my fault, and I can remember that weight of that crashing in on me for the very first time. And so we're keenly aware internally that we owed a debt we could not pay, and that he paid a debt he didn't know. And so oftentimes our imaginations and all that we think about, we become preoccupied with the debt because we want desperately to say thank you enough. But how do you say thank you enough? What could ever possibly convey thank you enough for having paid the debt of our sin? And so we want to say thank you, and instead sometimes we just end up emotionally captive to the past, often rehearsing our failures as testimony rather than building our testimony on victory in Christ. But Easter is primarily about resurrection. Easter is about victory. It's about overcoming. And you know, the greatest thank you that you and I can give to the Lord is not in remembering our sins and grieving them. In fact, can I just point out that in Hebrews chapter 10, it tells us that the very nature of the Old Testament sacrifice was what? So that we might remember year after year the price of sin, and remember that the blood of bulls and goats could do nothing to take away sin. And so the very nature of that sacrifice was to remind us of the price, to remind us of the debt. And so Easter is in stark contrast to that. That instead our sins are forgiven one time for all time's sake. That he completed that task and then sat down at the right hand of the Father because everything was done. Sin past, sin present, sin future, all in one act. That is the resurrection. That is the hope that Easter brings. And the greatest thank you is when you and I live our lives going forward in the power of the resurrection, no longer letting sin reign in our mortal bodies. The greatest thank you is when my testimony is no longer about what I was saved from, but what I was redeemed for. The intentional moving forward toward the things of the kingdom and advancing the cause of the kingdom over the face of the earth to bring hope, healing, in the promise of the resurrection. The greatest thank you is when I live my life in a way that brings honor and glory to him. Amen? One of the ways that the early church celebrated Easter was in baptism. They were planning on being baptized, and they thought how significant. Skip was just sharing about being baptized on Easter himself, and there was this sense in which, listen, that's the day that Jesus was resurrected from the dead, and so the symbolism of resurrection, of being raised to new life, and so there was this great joy in celebrating baptism on Easter, and so the people would spend the 6 weeks leading up to Easter in a time of catechism, of preparing themselves, something we now call Lent, a season of preparation, seeking God, renewing their minds, preparing their hearts for baptism on resurrection morning. Later on, mature Christians began to keep Lent not as a tradition and not as a way to rehearse the past, but instead as a way of renewing their commitment to Christ and remembering what Christ had done for them in their baptism. It was deeply spiritual season of committing oneself, renewing one's commitment to following Christ. And so this year we celebrated Lent with a study in the Gospel of Mark. It was a very great time of renewal for many of us. And today, at the close of our service, we are going to do baptisms, just like they did in the early church. I'm looking forward to that part of our service. So if you're our guest, please feel free to stay and watch those baptisms and ask questions afterwards, because it might be that maybe God is speaking to you this morning about your walk with Him, about your new life. Now, whether you've been a Christian a long time or you're a committed Christian, here's the thing we know is that the resurrection is a big deal. If you're new to Christianity, if you've never accepted Christ or you just recently accepted Christ, you know it's a big deal because it's one of the hardest things to get our heads around. I mean, has anybody recently seen a resurrection? I don't mean on YouTube. I mean, have you ever seen a resurrection? And so it's one of the hardest things for us to get our heads and our hearts around is this whole thing of the resurrection. And yet, if you're not new to Christianity, you know that it is central to our faith. Nothing is more important, not the virgin birth, not the divinity of Jesus. But how does that work out through our everyday life? I mean, how do we apply the resurrection to the everyday part of living our faith? Well, I'm so glad you asked. You see, when the Apostle Paul was writing to the church in Rome around AD 60, that church was faced with a lot of issues. They were faced with issues of being multi-ethnic. They lived in the city of Rome, which was, there were people from all over the world converging there. And so the church, likewise, was made up of people from all over the world. It was the capital of the Roman Empire, and so by very nature, I mean, it had specific issues that it had to deal with. And there's this whole cosmopolitan life and dealing with social issues that most of the world didn't have to worry about until just recently. And now we're also have this whole issue of that there are pagan people, people who knew nothing about God or what the Jews believed about God. And so their view of God was very different from those who were Jewish Christians. And they're all gathered together in the same church. There's this tension all around those things. They're trying to deal with that. And in the midst of that, Paul addresses this whole idea of what does it mean for the resurrection to impact the life of the church? What does it mean for a church that lives in a setting not unlike the modern world that we find ourselves in? Let's take a look in a very unusual Easter morning text, Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. I'm going to be reading from the English Standard Version. I'd love for you to follow along in whatever translation you have. The one in your lap is always my favorite translation because that's the one you're reading. Romans chapter 6, beginning of verse 1, and we read, "What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died to sin still live in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, that we too might walk in newness of life. For if we've been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. For one who has died has been set free from sin. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death he died once to sin, once for all. But the life he lives to God. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal bodies to make you obey its passions. Do not present your members as instruments for unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and your members to God as instruments for righteousness, for sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under law, but under grace. Blessed be the reading of God's holy word. So not the text you were probably thinking of on Easter Sunday and talking about the resurrection. In fact, most of the time when we talk about that passage, the only reason we bring it up is because of baptism. And of course, we are talking about baptism somewhat this morning. We're doing baptisms. But, you know, here, it really is very appropriate for talking about the resurrection. See, the apostle asked that question. He's talking to those who have already been baptized, actually, and he asked them the question, how can we, who died to sin, still live in it? It's a powerful question that the apostle asks, and his reason for the question is not to find fault, but rather to refocus the believer on new life rather than to focus on the old life. You know, one of the saddest things for the life of a believer is when we live under the weight of fear, of judgment, of guilt, condemnation, or worse yet, when we put others under that same, the very thing that we sought to be free of, the very thing in which we've been rescued from so that we might have new life. For way too many Christians, Christianity is often treated as a religion of trying to pay Jesus back rather than moving forward, paying it forward. You see, paying it back involves self-loathing. Paying it back is about remembering, rehearsing, carrying on under the weight of sin. It's about doing penance. It's about going to church because you must, not because you want to. I've got a debt I must pay. It's about tithing, giving out of a sense of law, out of a sense of duty, out of a sense of fear, rather than the thought of bringing hope to the nations, of joy to others, rather than the sense of setting the captive free, rather than resourcing the work of the kingdom. Christianity that is stuck in trying to pay back is one that is very unattractive to the world around it. On the other hand, a Christianity that is continually paying it forward is about celebrating what God has done. It's about wanting to be around others who are celebrating. Don't you enjoy being around other people who are celebrating? Other people who are full of joy? I mean, isn't there a sense of attractiveness about that? And we see these crowds gathering around Jesus, and there's this sense of expectation. There's a sense of fulfillment. There's a sense of new hope, new life, new joy. It's not about the old. It's not about the past. It's not about rehearsing what's wrong with you and how you don't measure up. It's this sense of that everything is moving forward, that in Jesus there is hope, there's life, there's joy. Paying it forward is about loving others. It's about sharing my hope. And it's about giving it all away because it was freely given. So that's where that sense of debt turns to a sense of joy, is that I can't pay. But what I can do is I can pay it forward. I can share that same hope, that same promise, that resurrection life. So Paul asks, if you've been set free from sin, why are you continuing to wallow in the past? Paul says it this way, if you've been baptized, and when I say that, I mean that real sense of being baptized. I don't mean that kind of cultural sense of, well, mom and dad did it, and so I did it, and somebody did it for me, I was trying to make mama happy, I was trying to make my girlfriend happy, I was trying to make my boyfriend happy, I was trying to make my friend happy, I was trying to make whoever happy. I mean that real sense in which you have this moment in your relationship with Christ, and you want to put an end to the old self, and you want to know the experience, the sense of his presence and moving forward in life. And so he says, if you've been baptized, then doesn't that mean you already died to your old self and have been raised to new life, to eternal life, not to perpetual remembrance, perpetual repentance, but to new life? See, what Paul's asking is, I don't understand, how can you keep going back to the old life? How can you live in the past? Or worse yet, why would you want to live like you did before you were saved? Isn't that what you wanted to be free from? It's a rhetorical question. Paul's not uninformed. He's perplexed. He's perplexed at what he sees them doing. And he's perplexed by the way that they're living there in the Roman church, and how they're continuing to live under condemnation from the past, and how others are just continuing to live like they've never, changed their life, like they've never been saved. And so he asks the question, did you not know? I mean, surely there must be a misunderstanding, because you've got this wonderful new life, and why would you continue to live your old life? It's not condescending in any way. It's the question that ultimately all of us should ask ourselves at some point is, why? Why live like that? But he goes on to explain what he means, and he says this, see, we were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, that we too might walk in the newness of life. In other words, listen, you've been set free. You have the power of the resurrection. You're no longer dead in your sin. You're alive in Christ. You are free from sin. Live like you are free from sin. You are free from the fear of death. Live as though you were free from the fear of death. You are free from the past. Live like you are free from the past. You are free from guilt. Live without the condemnation of guilt, so that you can have a life of purpose, a life of possibility, a life empowered by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He goes on to clarify, for if we've been united with him in his death, a death like his, we certainly will be united with him in a resurrection like his. It's the promise of eternal life. And here's the cool thing, is that it's not just some sweet by and by thing. It's not just someday when we see the glory of heaven and all kinds of things. It's the idea that that life invades my life right now. That I can live in that joy now. That's what Paul's asking. Why? Why go back to the old life? Why go back to a powerless life? Why go back to the weight of all of those things? See, Paul's not trying to weigh them down. He's not trying to ridicule them. He wants them to know what they're missing. He wants them to know the power of the resurrection. He wants them to know a life without regret, a life filled with God's presence. You know, and I've said this many times, but for me, one of the best parts of coming to Christ was not just getting forgiven, but it was that ongoing companionship of the Holy Spirit. Not just a promise that I would never be alone, that he wouldn't leave me or forsake me, but can I just tell you that I have faced some of the darkest moments of my life with that comfort of knowing that he was there with me, that he didn't leave me, he didn't forsake me, he walked through with me through that valley of the shadow of death, he was there. It's his power for living. Yeah, that's worth clapping about. So Paul said it another way in Philippians chapter 3, beginning in verse 8, and he says, indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I've suffered the loss of all things, and I count them as rubbish, as a loss, as trash, in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him. And here's where it gets so important. Not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, it comes from me doing the right things. Not a righteousness that comes from me getting my act together. It's not a righteousness that comes from all the other traps of religion, but one that comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith, that I may know him. And here's my favorite part. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection. And though I may share in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible, I may attain the resurrection from the dead. See, when I receive Christ, when I surrender to him, I not only get new life in the promise of heaven, but in the right now. And the resurrection power of God empowers me to live life right now, in step it with him, in step with his teaching, loving others, giving hope, forgiving those who sin against me, loving people who aren't like me. How? Through his resurrection power at work in me. And all I have to do is choose to live in it. Choose the life that he has so freely given. Now, having said that, let me be really honest, because it's so important, as freeing and life-giving it is. Don't miss the part where he said that living for Christ isn't free from hardship or suffering. Instead, he says, and even in the sufferings of Christ, that he's there with us, that we go through it. What he meant is that we have resurrection power to go through it in life, not to avoid it. Christianity is not a talisman against life or the problems of it. It is the power to live life as it comes at you. Can I just tell you that the greatest proof to me of Christianity is not just in the history of the resurrection and all the historical proofs. It's not the scientific proofs and all those things. It's this, is that Christianity is the faith that will carry you through, not just when it's good, not just when it feels good, not just whenever everything is going the way you want it. But can I tell you that right in the midst of the storms of life, that the resurrection power of Christ is with you, that he walks through the storms with you. It's the kind of faith that carries through both in the days of light and in the days of darkness, in the joys and the moments of great joy and in the moments of great sorrow, that it is a faith that can weather the times. It's a faith that can carry through no matter what the storms. It doesn't matter what the political situation is in your country, how good or how bad, whether you live in a free country or a country that isn't free, that the power of the resurrection is there for us in the midst of those moments. And so my prayer this Easter is for us to come to the living resurrection power of God, to walk in it, either for the first time or as a renewal of our commitment. Let's pray. Father, we've gathered here today on this Resurrection Sunday to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ, your Son, and to revel in the promise of not just eternal life, but life today, of resurrection power, not just on that last and great day, but even now. Power for living today. Power to live like Jesus in the world where we find ourselves right now. And my prayer today for every believer is that your Holy Spirit would pour into them refreshing, recommitment, and renewal. Just fall afresh on us, Lord. We need you. We need you to live. We need you when we don't feel like living. We need you when everything is going well. We need you when we feel tired. Father, for our guests today who don't know you, I pray that you would reveal yourself to them and that they would choose you. That they would choose life. That they would choose to give up an old life for a new life. And for the resurrection power for living today. Just come. Come and fall afresh on those who don't know you today. And if that's you, that is a decision you're making right now. You're saying yes to Jesus. Would you just do so by raising up of your hand for just a moment? You don't have to leave it up. You can just up and down. Bless you. And Lord, for all these things, for your kindness, for your mercy, for the hope of resurrection and the promise of eternal life that begins today, we thank you in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
I hope you enjoyed the podcast today. And if you did, there's two things I'd love to ask of you. Number one, would you subscribe to our show? That way, the most recent podcast will be in your feed, ready for you when you are. And secondly, if this ministry has impacted you and you'd like to help us continue to reach others, you can click on the link in the description to give now.